story goes of a Amish family living in a rural town who was heading to the big city for the first time. They had passed it, gone through it, but never stopped. They decided they were going to have a vacation. And they chose one of those big hotels that were 40 foot high. Never been in one of those before. And as they stopped inside that hotel, the father and son went to register, and mom and the daughter were just blown away by the gift shop, and they were just looking in the window. And as they were waiting on that line, father and son, they were amazed by everything, but in particular, that wall that had those silver boxes that were opening and closing, opening and closing, and these twinkly lights that were on top of those silver boxes. And as they watched, they were wondering, what are they for? And then they noticed an elderly woman walking up to one of them with a cane. She pushed a button. The door opened. She walked in. The door closed behind her. And they watched as the lights began to twinkle on top of that silver box. It stopped on the number 23. Whatever could that mean? Dad wouldn't take his eyes off of that box. 2 moments later, it opened again, and out walked a stunningly beautiful woman. She looked like she could have been 23. That dad, without pausing or moving his eyes, patted his son on the head and said, "Boy, go get your mom." And any of you guys who just nodded your spouse and said, "We got to find that elevator," you are in so much trouble too. I want to talk to you this morning about becoming a new creation. Not like that. Becoming a new creation in Christ. A few weeks back, we, under excitement of our new facility, we began a series, Under Construction. Our first, going back to August, we looked and we had an examination of God's Word about the family. What is the role of parents? What's the role of a wife? The role of a husband? It was a lot of fun. Learned some good stuff. And then we looked at our finances. Looking at God's blueprint, especially in these days and in these times, what does God's Word have to say about money? He's got a lot to say about it. Then a few weeks ago, we began a series about forming concrete friendships. Those kind of friendships, because you can't have a million of them, you can't even have a dozen of them, but you need to have some friendships that are rock solid. We began to examine through the book of Proverbs, God's Word, about those kind of friends. And today, as we move on, and a little bit under that auspices of that series, we're going to talk about reconciliation. Reconciliation. First, last week, we examined a little bit about reconciliation with God. And once we have that, we have a new way of being reconciled to others. That God doesn't say is negotiable, that He says, you must have. And if you have this, watch your lives, watch your homes, watch your places of business, watch your communities, watch your church be turned upside down. If you will embrace my ways. Look with me. And just as a review, last week, if you look in your outline, you noticed that living this new life as an ambassador, because God says that's what you are. If you are part of God's family, if you've come to that place of saying Christ alone, it's you alone that can make me right with God, that you are my way, my truth, my life. God says at that moment, I adopt you. I bring you into my family. He says, now I give you a new position in life. I appoint you as my ambassador. I'm the King of Kings. And I've left you to go and be my representative. And so how you live represents me. How you speak represents me. And you have a special message that ought to be shared. And I will give you power and authority to share it. And it's not in and of yourself. It's my power. It's my authority. And the world needs to hear it because they don't realize the bridge has collapsed. It's broken. And we're not engaged. Though they try and though they strive, the bridge is out. And I sent a bridge builder, my very son, Jesus. And if anyone will walk across that bridge, we're reconciled. And so you and I who have made that commitment understand that message. But oh, how we struggle. Oh, how we have fears. Oh, how we see we're so unworthy. And oh, how we see a lack of fruit. And so this morning, as we continue on this journey, we're going to let God speak to us and help us and evaluate and look in the mirror, if you will. And by His strength, by His grace, by His power, we'll be different. Because we would have grasped reconciliation a little bit greater and be willing to offer that a little bit more readily. So we saw last week that we're now compelled by a new motivation, right? A new motivation. And what is that? Love. Why is that? Look at verse 14. Paul would write, "For Christ's love compels us." He says, there's an inward pressure that now guides, controls, motivates me. Why? He says, because now I'm convinced that one died for all. He says, I have fully decided in my heart, I have a deep conviction that one died for all. That means that one died for the benefit of all. One died instead of all. One died as a substitute for all others so they wouldn't have to. And therefore, all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. And so we saw last week that those who make that commitment, who come to that place of yieldedness, of trust, who recognize that I am separated from God and I've got to take responsibility of that for that. I had rebellion in my heart towards God. I wanted to go my own way. And I didn't yield to Him. And they are broken by that. And the Bible says there's a godly sorrow over that. That God meets them there. And when they believe on Christ, God says something new happens. We're going to see that in a few moments. But we realize, and you see it there in your outline, that Christ's love has changed why we believe what we believe now. Why we do what we do now. You see, something new stirred inside of us. It's a love from Him. And when you grasp that love, because nobody knows you like yourself. Nobody knows that those deep places, that those wounds, no one knows that ugliness like yourself and God. And when you grasp that He loves you unconditionally, that He knows all of that, when that stirs you, when you say, that can't be true, and He says, oh, it is true, my child, something happens inside of you. You begin to be stirred and you begin to realize that you can love in the same way because you have been loved so deeply, so unconditionally. And then there's a well inside of you because there's people all around you who think like you used to think. And some of us even struggle who still think that way now. And they haven't experienced what you've experienced. But when you go and you love them that way, something awesome can happen. And so because we have that love from Him, we in turn reach out and we love Him in an authentic way. Not in just a flippant way. Not in a way that I'm just going to church. I'm doing my thing. I'll give a buck here. No, not anymore. But it's in an authentic way. Lord, my life is Yours. And He meets us there. And so we begin that journey. It's called the new life. It's called the born again, the born anew. Jesus says every one of us is born once physically. He says, that's good. He says, but you need to be born again. This time it's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. Have you experienced that spiritual birth? God will want you. He wants you to. He says, that's the umbilical cord. Begins that relationship with us. And then He says in verse 15, and He died for all that those who live, and that's hopefully you and me in this room. If you trusted in Christ, it is. Guess what? We no longer live for ourselves. We no longer live for our own advantage, for our own purpose. We begin to realize, wait a minute. Life has a new purpose. God has a plan for me. Oh, yeah. And we realize, so I'm not going to live for me, but what? But for Him. I'm living for His advantage. I'm living for His purpose. The one who died for me and was raised again. And so we saw that last week, right? Now today, number two in your outline, you and I are going to see that when we begin that journey, we're guided by a new evaluation when it comes to the world. And it's a spiritual one. There's a new evaluation that takes place in how we see people, and how we see God, and how we see ourselves and the world around us. It is so key for us to grasp that. The Apostle Paul says in verse 16 of the same chapter, so from now on, and that means I've made a final conclusion, and he wants you and I to as well, God does, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. He says we no longer look at, evaluate, make a determination by a worldly point of view. That expression, worldly point of view, means from a street smart attitude. From a fleshly or self-reliant perspective. A verse like that just throws me for a loop. Because that's how I used to see. I used to think I understood what was really going on. That I had this street smarts and could grasp what really was motivating someone or really what was going on in their heart. And God began to show me, John, there's a certain condemnation in you. There's a certain arrogance in you. It's got to stop. And this is after I become a Christian. And this verse was so helpful for me. I stopped evaluating people from that kind of perspective. From this truth. So he says, we no longer regard anybody. We no longer evaluate them, look at them from that worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Do you get that? He says, Paul is saying, I once saw Christ that way. For my own wisdom. For my street smarts. For my theological bent. You see, Paul was this prominent religious guy. He was smart. He had a place of authority in the community. And he saw Jesus and man, who is this guy? You got to be kidding me. What he's saying, what he's spewing. And anybody who would follow Jesus, Paul, before he became Paul, it was Saul. He went and he gathered papers and he had them arrested and killed. And he thought he was doing it all in the name of God because of his street smarts and because of his perspective on how he saw life. Man, was he dead wrong. And when he met Christ, it changed his life and how he saw other people. And he said, my fight is not with people, but there's an enemy. There's someone who's grabbed a hold of their lives, just like that person owned my life. And he goes, and it's not a fleshly thing, it's a spiritual thing. And so he says, I don't look at people that way anymore. I look at them like Jesus looked at them, sheep without a shepherd, harassed, burdened, broken down, fighting and agitated, because on the inside they don't have peace because they don't have Christ. So he says, I look at people differently now. I don't look at them as my enemy. I look at them with a compassion and a certain kind of pity. And we see that in his letters. I see that in his church. As many of us have grasped that. Do we stumble and fall back at times? Sure. Me included. But then we have the truth that says, evaluate. Step up. Take a look. And so he says, no longer do we regard Christ in this way, because now we see Christ from the other side. Paul says, now that I've met Christ and I look back, I'm going, whoa, how I was wrong. So he's very careful now in how he evaluates circumstances, situations, and people. In 1986, Shannon Lucid, a United States astronaut, spent 188 days with Russian cosmonauts on a space station. And in that time, as they began to build trust with one another, they began to share about their lives and their childhood. And Shannon shared during those Cold War years how she and her family and Americans in general were incredibly frightened and fearful of Russia. They were waiting for those missiles to come. The cosmonauts were blown away and said, "No way, we were fearful of you. We thought your president couldn't wait to hit that red button and annihilate us and destroy us because we were your enemies." She was saying, "You don't get it." "Oh yeah, we felt you were enemies, but we didn't want to destroy you. We wanted to have some kind of peace." And they were like, "No way." Do you realize that's how a lot of people Look at God. Because the Bible says all of us are born. Yes, even those precious ones. Separate from God. As precious and as innocent, as much joy they bring to us, there's rebellion in their hearts. And you know who it's carried out with or against before God? Mom and Dad. There's a self-centeredness. I mean, they can be well-fed. They can have a clean diaper. They can have rest. But and one day, they realize, if I go wah, 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 I will get attention. I will get what I want. And so I'm going to wah, 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 and they're going to dawdle over me. That's self-centeredness. The Bible says, curb that at a certain time. Or else, we're going to grow up to be adults. And not much changes. All of us are born that way. And just like those cosmonauts saw Americans as their arch enemy. Well, guess what? We were enemies. A lot of people look at God. Well, he's after me. To annihilate me. To wipe me out. Can I tell you something? God's after you. But he's not after you to annihilate you. He's after you to reconcile with you. To offer peace with you. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, so we don't regard the way we used to regard people and Christ. But what does it say in verse 17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Are you in Christ? That's the key here. Are you in Christ? Then you're a new creation. You've experienced a new birth. It happened once in time, just like your... How many of you have had a physical birth? How many? Raise your hand. Here you go. You are a shark group. Have you had a spiritual birth? God says that happens one time. Just like your physical birth happened one time. Now you and I can go back and we can recommit to that first time and what that meant to us. Because we find ourselves kind of off a track. But if you've become a new creation, guess what? You are a new creation. Something's happened on the inside, the scripture tells us. It started as an infant spiritually. I was almost 30 years old, but I became an infant spiritually. I didn't have a clue. I had no idea what this book said. I had no idea about who Jesus wanted to have and do in my life and how he wanted me to treat others and how he wanted me to live. I was an infant, and though I had a ton of street smarts and a ton of arrogance and a ton of book smarts in my field and my profession, I was a baby, an infant spiritual, and so were you that day you came to Christ. But you know what this word also means? It means that as a new creation, I love this language, Dr. Bice will appreciate this, it means that it's a continuous state. In other words, it starts, but then it continues. We mature. We grow. Just like those precious babies right now, they are so dependent on mom and dad for everything. Clothing, feeding, cleaning. And at one point, they're going to be able to take care of themselves. They're going to be able to dress themselves. And you're going to know it because they'll walk out of that room and you're going to go, oh, you dressed yourself, didn't you? Woo! Danielle still says it when I walk out of the room. One day, and hopefully you're here today and you've walked with Christ for a season. And there's some things that are going on in your heart and your life because of his grace and because of this word. And you guys meeting together and joining together, you've matured and you've grown. But that happens. You're a new creation. The old is gone. In other words, the old identity. All the old stuff. Oh, you and I see it want to rear up and grab us again and pull us down again. That still is there. But the identity, it's done with. You are who you are. A child of God. Adopted by him. A prince. A prince of God's. Be done with that old identity. Who you were, what you did, how you identified yourself. Done, God. The old is gone. The new has come. Live in that. Enjoy that. Walk in that. Believe God and His promises to you. That's the beauty of His reconciliation. He did that, sent His Son, so that you would walk in that new identity. He says, it cost me so much. Live in it now. It's free to you. Enjoy it. Believe it. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. You see, when you bowed your heart to Jesus that day, you thought, okay, here it is. I'm doing it, man. I'm coming. Yep. And you realize, you look back and you go, whoa, I didn't do anything. He did it all. And all I did was I finally stopped bucking and fighting. And I just bowed in my heart. And I surrendered, and that word scared me. But I know that I know I surrendered. And whoa, I was reconciled. He reconciled us to Himself through Christ. That means He effected a change. No, He effected an exchange. He repaired. He mediated because we needed mediation. There's a powerful verse as Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor that he's mentoring. And he speaks about that in chapter 2. Of 1 Timothy, I want to share it with you in verse 5 and 6. He says to Timothy, and he says to you and I today, there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And you know what grabs me? One of the first things as I look at that, as it identifies Jesus as the man Christ Jesus. Because as I read Paul's other letters, he's always calling Jesus what? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. Christ the Savior. The Lord. But here he calls Him a man. Why? That's so pivotal. You and I need to get it. I know I just made that word up. I put an extra A on there. It's so important that we get that. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. But that flesh is so important. He became 100% man. And still 100% God. Want your brain to explode? Try to add that up and still come out 100%. But that's who He is. And that's why God says, I sent my Son as a man to be a mediator. Because you and I know, have you ever been struggling in a relationship with someone and you needed mediation? How does mediation work? How does that work? When both parties totally believe that the mediator has both of their interests in mind. That's the only way you're going to come to that table and listen and hear that mediator. And that's Jesus. He's God and He's man. God says, He's mine, my mediator. Whatever He does, whatever He says, He's representing me. And for you and I to say, Jesus, He's my man. He's my Savior. Whatever He says, I believe in Him. I trust in Him. He's my mediator. And when you believe in that, God says you're reconciled. And it's an offer, what does it say? To all men. But then it says, and to those men who believe, then they have that mediation take place. Because there's some people who leave the table, who are not willing. There are some who won't even come to the table, and maybe you're one of those today. God says, today might be the day of your proper testimony. Notice what He says there in 1 Timothy 2. The testimony given in its proper time. Today might be that day, it's your time. But can we go back, just to clarify for all of us in a few minutes, to the question I asked you earlier. Are you in Christ? Again, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he uses similar language. I'll read it. If you have your Bibles, go there. But please listen. And you also were included in Christ. Pique your interest? I want to know, am I included in Christ? You want to know, are you included in Christ? And you also were included in Christ when, there's four parts to this, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word gospel means good news. God's pursuing you, all right, because we're enemies. And He goes, I have good news on how that problem can be taken care of. Your rebellious, your self-centered problem. You're included in Christ when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then notice the next two words, having believed. So you do something about what you hear and you acknowledge and say, boy, that hurts. That it's on me. I've dissed him. I've rebelled. Yes. But he's offering to clean all that up and I don't have to work for it and strive and go to church anymore and give it. Nope. And Jesus did it all. And when you believe and you stake your life on that and you surrender to that, you know what the Bible says? Read the next part of the verse. After that, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. God says he puts his mark of protection and identification on you at that very moment. You are born anew by the Spirit of God. Maybe, what is that whole born again? What is all? That's exactly when it takes place. You hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are sealed, you are marked in him with the promised Holy Spirit of God. The down payment of all that you will inherit. You begin that relationship. And then the new creation that you are is a new creation you begin to live. Guess what? When someone enters the house and they have full control and they're pulling the levers, guess what? Things begin to change in that house and outside the house. There was a young family that bought a brand new home, spanking new, new lawn and everything. Became pretty clear what their priorities were. And it wasn't the upkeep of that home. The lawn died and got shabby. The shutters fell off. Concrete cracked. Inside of the house, always disheveled. New house. Family in. Not much keeping on top of things. But then they put up that house for sale. A new family saw what could be. Bought that house. In a short period of time, the lawn was back up. Flowers in the flower bed. Shutters painted and put back on. You walk in that house, clean, organized. What happened? Someone new entered the house. And as a result of that, it affected change. As a believer, when Jesus Christ comes into your life by his Holy Spirit, there will be change. Because there's a new resident in the house. And one of those changes is reconciliation. You are reconciled with him and you will strive. You will be a passionate peacemaker to be reconciled with those around you because that's his way. And he said, when you and I are reconciled and we do whatever we need to do, and most of the times that's surrendering to our rights and reconciled with others, he says, then you are fulfilling that role as an ambassador like you never could. And the world will know that you are my disciples when they see that kind of love for one another. And our struggle sometime, and my struggle sometime in this journey of Christian life, is I see things that are at a skew once in a while. This photo... that picture has bothered me for months. And it's not what you think. And it's not Dr. Sean Bice Day. A few months ago, Dr. Bice was appointed the director of Mid-America Seminary. He had served here as a professor for many years and God had given him a vision, and the seminary president and others recognized and saw that. So I would walk by. His picture moved from that side hallway to a more prominent place in the foyer. That's what happens when you become the director. I would walk by that picture. You want to know something? It was always a little off. So I'd walk by and I'd salute. And I would make an adjustment. And I would straighten it out. And I'd go, yeah. And I'd walk back. A day or two later, I'd walk by again. He's out of whack again. I'd straighten it out and I'd do it again. It happened numerous times. And if you know me well, you know stuff like that bothers me. But then one day I was thinking, And I pulled, I made sure he and everybody else was gone. And I pulled it off and I noticed, aha, it is gathered by this wire. The problem isn't that the tilt was off. The problem was that this wire wasn't centered on the nail properly. And once I centered it, I walked by that picture proudly. Because he's no longer bent out of shape. He's no longer skewed. You know, there are times in my Christian life, by God's grace, I'm a new creation. I know it because His Spirit confirms in my heart that I'm a child of God. And there's been change in my life that's been dramatic. But there's times when I'm a little off center. And you know what I look to do? Look to make some adjustments. Ooh, I'm going to strive a little bit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I have these ideas. I'm going to bear down a little bit more. And then 2 days or a week, man, I'm still out of alignment. What is that? Okay. I'm going to pray a little longer. I'm going to maybe participate a little bit more. And a week later, I'm still out of alignment. And then there's those times where I go and I begin to step back. It's like taking the picture off the wall and I realize the problem is my life in those moments in that season, I'm not centered in Christ. I'm centered in a lot of stuff that is godly. Good disciplines. But the center and the joy and the delight of my life is not Jesus. So I continue to get out of alignment. And that gets wearisome for me. So I exhale. And I just looked at the light in Jesus again. I want my life to align with Him. To be the source again. And then all of a sudden something happens. When He becomes my center again. All the adjustments. It's like I went to a makeover, man. It's us all looking. He fixes that stuff. He makes those adjustments. Because He's got my heart. And then whatever He wants, whatever area He calls me to deny myself and take up my cross, which is different than His cross, I'm following. And it's good to follow. There's power and energy. And there's fruit that results in that kind of abiding in connection. Are you in Christ? It's the most important question that needs to be answered in your heart this morning. And if you are, I thank God for that. That you've responded to His grace and His mercy. But if you're like me, you need to get back to Jesus being the source. Let's do it. Father, Lord, thank You that it's all from You, us as new creations. And we live these lives now for You, from that grace, with Jesus, our Savior, being our source. Lord, as we're here this morning, and as Your Word, which is alive, spoken to our hearts, there might be some who have never come to that place of being included in Christ. But today, they've heard the word of truth, the good news of their salvation being paid for by Christ. And Lord, I pray that if today is a day that they're willing to surrender, that's what that word believe, it means to totally trust, to stake their life on, not their religious compartment of life, but their whole life and destiny and every compartment, to say, I'm willing, Lord, for You to be Lord. Come inside of me. Mark me by Your Spirit. Lead me, refresh me, wash me, cleanse me, give me peace with God. Then You are faithful. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No one shall be put to shame. Oh, thank You, God, for Your promise. Thank You for making it so clear. Thank You that we don't have to strive anymore and be so confused. Which way is right? Which religion do I practice? Oh, Lord, none of it. You provided the bridge. You provided the mediator. You provided the reconciler yourself through your Son. You died so I might live, so we might live. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And many of us in this room, sincerely, wholeheartedly call you Father, because we've been adopted and we're your children by faith alone. But Lord, we see we're a little disheveled. This area is a little crooked. We got a little bit of bitterness in our heart. A little bit of anger. Apathy. Hopelessness. Fear has crept in again. We try to make this adjustment and that adjustment. Or sometimes we just say, forget it all, and I'm just sitting here. I'm not doing nothing. But today you've reminded us, oh, get back to your source. Get back to Jesus. Let him be the center. So God, there might be some precious children of yours, brothers and sisters of mine, who have already in their heart just cried out to you. And you've heard them. And already there's that showing them where Jesus is not the center. He's not the source. And there's good work going on there. And I thank you for that. So continue to lead us. Be that refreshment. Whatever you say, you have hearts that are yielded to you. In this morning, in this moment, in this day, and I'll obey. I'll sit at your feet. And I'll meet you there. And I'll let you do something. Changing my perspective. Let me see others differently now. As I now see Christ differently. Thank you, God. Make me a reconciler. Make me a peacemaker. I need that. Others need that. You showed me the way. Now empower me to do the same. In your name I pray.